am completely and utterly convinced that God has the best for you. I believe that it is a new day. And I have bumped into so many new friends. Thank you. And to see what God can do, if you just take a moment and go, we want more. It doesn't matter if you've been going out and you're about to get engaged, or you are engaged and you're going, how's this going to look like? Or you've been married for more than 40 years and everything in between. There is so much more for us, each of us. And to think that you have sacrificed 4 nights of your life, and I know it's been hardcore stuff, and I know you have, I don't know, maybe some of you have actually sold your children. But you've managed to push aside and prioritize this for your life. Maybe you're experiencing something now, but I know this, that life takes time to evolve. And you will see the fruit of your commitment to do something like this. And my heart's desire is that for all of you, you would experience the best. The best is yet to come. And it's not going to be easy, because you have to deal with your stuff and each other. And maybe it's going to be some turmoil, but hang in there and go for it. Why not? Why not? So page 28 is 4 pages before page 32. Come on now. So I'm going to just keep saying this. Everything that we've done helps us do the next part. There's no rules. We work it out. Equal but unique. And it's all at the same time. That's the truth for me. You know, the battle of sexes has been going on from the beginning of time. And it could be one of the most controversial and confusing things for all of us. Gender and the need for clarity with regards to our roles in relationships is generally viewed through traditional lenses or cultural lenses. And these issues can very easily create unnecessary tension in our lives as couples. I don't know where you've come from. I don't know what nuances you've experienced in your life. But whatever you have, it's come to this stage. We are a result of what has influenced us from our past. That's our reality. Good, bad, and ugly. And sometimes there are things that go on in our lives, in our relationships, that we don't know, why is this happening? Why does this happen? And the confusion of gender and roles very often has resulted from many forms of relational malfunction and relational dysfunction. And conflict and abuse. There's a lot of stuff that is happening around the world that is very confusing. And I know this is a very tender area. I'm not going to go into depth in this. But this is very challenging for everybody. And I know those of you who have got young children, it's even more challenging. And we can win. You know, at the very beginning, we did the wheel. Remember that wheel? Yeah. This is what I believe. That whatever's at the center pushes out. I know God's optimal for us is in the person of Jesus Christ. If He is seated at the center and we are rooted in Him, here's the promise. Your life will be very fruitful. And I've got to believe, and I do believe, that what He says is mine. It's ours. Stand on it, you know. So I'm going to make a little assumption that most of you are in this church. You can hear this. You can read this. But if you don't stand on this, it means zero. If stand and are rooted in the Word, His name is Jesus Christ, you will experience a life you never thought possible, the ride of your life. I don't like those bumps they put on roads. I got a little Fiat 500. The bumps are higher than my car. It's not comfortable. My little grandson says, "Baba, drive properly." You know? There are lots of bumps. All of us have had bumps, correct?
Yeah.
They will never go. But we can get over them. Enjoy the ride, bumps and all. What we need to do is what an old Indian friend from Madras said to me. Thank the Lord for the bumps. Because the bumps can teach us and the bumps can protect us. Enjoy the ride. Fix your wheel. Because at the end of each part of those paths is a promise that God has for you. So when we talk about this, thank the Lord for the bumps. So who does what and on what basis and why is a great question to ask. Who and why should a person dominate in a relationship? Who and why should a person be submissive in a relationship? What has caused men to behave and therefore lead the way they do in their relationships and in society? And what has caused women to respond the way they do to the above? We have to ask these questions. We can't just carry on and we have to ask these questions for our soul's sake, for our lover's sake. We have to ask these questions. If we want to avoid falling into the trap of stereotypical marriages and relationships, we have to think differently. We're obliged to think differently about relational structures. We get to get a better and a new perspective. And for some of us, we're going to have a paradigm shift. A new worldview, a new view. And that's awkward. I remember when someone was trying to teach me that I could pray for people and they'd get healed. And I was going, but how? How does that work? And then I saw something happen when an ordinary little oak like this laid hands on somebody and I was looking, must I do it this way? How must I do it this way? And he said, yes. And I prayed, Lord Jesus, can you pray for the... I didn't even know how to pray. And God healed that person. My brain. The paradigm was not so much about the healing. The paradigm was about God. See, this is not a paradigm about relationship. This is actually a paradigm about God. How He sees us. How He sees us relating. So it asks this question, who am I? Good question to ask. Who am I? Not who am I. I know who I am. Who am I? Who's sitting in your seat right now? Who am I in this marriage, in this relationship? Who do we take our cue from with regards to who I am and how this relationship works? And then ask this question. Why am I married? So the world that we live in, it gives us a distorted model of leadership organizationally and a distorted model of headship relationally. The true story is we live in a predominantly male-dominated world. True. Go into any culture, any part of the world, you will see it's predominantly male-dominated. Is this all right?
Excellent.
It's got very quiet.
Excellent.
But chapter, the next chapter is great.
This is great. Well done. Sure.
And so as a result of that, what we have is we have a world where there's dominance, and we have a world where there is submission. And I think that's at the heart of things. And this filters through in reality to how relationships are led or formed and plays out in a leadership headship style. You get me? On your right is a statement I've written. In my understanding of the word and my understanding of Jesus, leadership is servanthood. Headship is leadership. Therefore, headship is servanthood.
Excellent said. Well said.
And so what we have is an authoritarian, dominant leader mindset in our world, which is autocratic, all-powerful, unquestionable, unquestioning, the ruler with absolute authority. Put in brackets, you see, God-given authority. And so here's the reality, and we all know this, whoever has the power has the control. And on a basis of that, will dictate the policies and practices of any relationship they're in, and any family they're in, and any marriage they're in, any organization they're in. And so as a result of that, something creeps in. Psychologists call them syndromes. The superiority syndrome and the inferiority syndrome. Another response to this world influence of how things should be in the world is a response to this dominance mindset is a laissez-faire, a sort of, I don't care, do as you please type of leader. Which means the abdicator, the person who doesn't ultimately want to take responsibility, was just going to provide the finances, do the minimum they can, and in the context of a marriage, leave the wife at home, barefoot, pregnant, in the kitchen. But still has the control. So an example for us would be the breadwinner, winner, provider mentality and the nurturer. And what it says, it's like, without it saying it. I know that none of your parents said, listen, you're the man. You're the woman. This is how it's got to work. I know no one had that lecture with you. But how did it creep in? How has it happened that some weird stuff goes on and affects us? And sometimes we don't know, should I make the decision? Should we make the decision? I'll make the decision. Why am I going to make the decision? Because I'm in control. I've got the power. So what we have is this breadwinner mentality, this nurturer mentality, which says to you, and I know this is where it struggles, the man must provide physically and financially, and the woman must be the other provider of sex, children, a lack of home, etc. That's a nurturer. And I can't tell you how many people I've spoken to, both men and women, in a relationship where they go, I know that's what I feel that everyone wants me to be, but Brett, it jars within me. It just, and you know what I do? I just do it. And we just do it at the cost of. We do it at the cost of our own souls. And we do it at the cost of the person we love the most. The people we love the most. My dad, who I spoke to you about, he was like a man. A real man's man, you know? And I remember him when I was a little oak going, "Oh, Dad, but I don't really want to do it." He said, "Listen, buddy, you do it." I said, "But why?" He said, "You don't have to ask me why. I am the king of this castle." I'll never forget that. Because as a son, it made me feel like I'm his slave. Anyone had that feeling before? To watch the king in your house and how everyone else, the so-called queen, lives is very awkward. When my dad got sick, my sister was deeply impacted by that. You know, she did at 17. She ran away. I'll tell you why. Because kings can't love like fathers. That's why. Can you see us all gone cockeyed? We're the kings of the castle. And everyone else is my slaves and will do my bidding. But if you got a feisty wife, things get interesting. So the female's response to this type of leadership is inferiority to the superiority of the authoritarian leader. Inferiority is a terrible thing. It's the feeling that you are less. I know you're not taught that here. But many people are. People have taken this book and have taught that. And they've trapped people in a king mindset. And have never introduced people to Abba, the dad of Jesus. And I know you have been introduced to Abba. Because when you feel less, you feel valueless, worthless, unimportant. You know, when God created heaven and earth, and he made all these things, he made things, water and stars, and I mean, it's spectacular what he's done, and creeping creatures, and da-da-da-da, and every time he made things, on every day, he said this. He saw it and it was good. On the sixth day, he said this. Let us make them in our image. And so he did in a mysterious and marvelous way. And then he created them and he gave them authority over everything. Them. Because if he made them in the image of I or me, he would have given one of them. Correct? The authority over everything. But he didn't. Gave them. You know what he said? He looked back. I love the past. And he said, looking at his creation, he said, "It is very good." To those of you who feel less, I want to say this to you. He sees you as very good. Very good. And to you who feel like, how do I get out of this? I have to be in charge thing. He looks at you and he sees you as very good. Not better, not worse. Very good. Because he sees himself in you. Another response to this distorted picture of leadership that we've embraced, both men and women have embraced this, is apathy. Apathy. I'm going to create my own word, and I don't think it's in Cambridge Dictionary. Apathy is just standing backness. Standing back. We cannot afford to be apathetic. It's destructive to us, because then one day we wake up and we go, if only. Another thing, number three, is the passive aggressive. Do you know what a passive aggressive is? It's a tiny little woman who weighs about 45 kilograms, who's about 1/10 of the size of her husband, and one day has enough. There's a lack of Afrikaans word for that, eh? Gatful. That's the Greek. There's a Greek meaning to that. Enough. And in the middle of this party, after getting orders and feeling less, and her husband's with his boy keys, she walks up, pushes her way through, and sticks her finger in his nose and says, buddy, you better change your mind and sleep with one eye open. The volcano has erupted. In England, a number of years ago, there was a woman called Bobbitt. Ever heard of her?
Yes.
You have? Great story. Passive aggressive. He wasn't sleeping with his eye open. And he had dominated her. And she was broken. But she had planned her revenge. While he was sleeping, she took out the scissors and grabbed his ding-a-ling and cut it off and hoid it at the fenster. True story.
Yes.
Two words. Be afraid. And we joke. And we think, oh, no. But internally, that is the most terrible space to be in. We are exploding. Tried out, get caught out, lose out, get out. The other one, number four, is just outright defiance. It's all a response to a distortion of what it should be. The worst part of it is the loss of dignity of another human being. And when shame just increases within you, and you can never get over this unreasonable guilt, because you, in a distorted way, believe that that model of leadership is right, and you deserve it. Shame on us. There is so much more. There's so much more to believe that we were equally created in the image of God. For me, it just does not make sense that on the basis of one's sex or gender, one has to fulfill a prescribed role in a relationship. Biblically, There's no evidence. Not in my eyes. There is, if you take the world view of leadership and somehow try and back it up through scripture, you can do that. But if you step back to creation and look forward, the evidence is that we are his kids. Beautiful. And he loves everyone the same. Beautiful. There are favorites. You and you and you and you and you and you. How cool is that? So our worldview of headship is interpreted through our traditional cultural lenses. In brackets, even scripture. But what if there's another option, a better option, with a better outcome for our everyday lives and our everyday love and our everyday leadership? What if there's a better option? And that means we have to have a paradigm shift. So I'm going to give you a moment just to shift a bit. What about a God view? And a God view is ultimately interpreted through a biblical lens, isn't it? The Word, which sets us free, which gives us hope. The Word who loved us unconditionally, that he gave his last breath for us. The Word who is alive and in us. The Word who promises abundance. The Word who says, I will preach good news to a heart of poverty. Wow. And an honest, thorough look through a biblical lens should reveal a counter-culture life. Counterculture relationships, counterculture leadership. Because a biblical lens will always point you to the person of Jesus Christ.
Beautiful.
And he will always point you to his Father and his kingdom. So it looks like this, and I'll just quickly go through this. This lens helps us see that the grace of God is everyone's inheritance. Everyone's. And it's the inheritance of a good, good Father. And God's heart is oneness. He's designed us to be one. And so when you think of a marriage, he's designed us to be one. No one's more or less. We one. It's the difference between unity and uniformity. It's the difference between diversity and division. That's what it is. And the Father always affirms the unique identity, value, and dignity of every individual. And it's always before role or function or purpose or practice. Always. We put that stuff upside down, we're doing the wrong thing. Change that's counterculture turns it upside down. I wish I could do a handstand, man. Shall I try? Okay. Here I go. It's this going to fall off, eh? It's upside down. Okay? How do you view the world upside down? You know, if they hang you upside down long enough, your vision will eventually see everything. So that's what they say. So watch this. Okay, wait. I think I pulled a groin muscle there, man. Yo. And it's Friday night tomorrow night. Our challenge, and it's a world challenge, Everybody, everything created. God did not send Jesus for the church. For God so loved the church. No, please. Never. For the world and every generation. For people who are unlike us. For people we think that there's no hope. Those are the people that the Son was sent for. And our challenge is to follow Him and His model of life and love and leadership in every aspect of our lives. And guess how it plays out? Jesus was going to speak to His disciples. He took His clothes off. I'm not brave enough to do that, eh? I'm not ripped at all. He took His kit off. He put a little skimpy towel around it. He bent down on His knees and He grabbed these stinking, dirty feet of His disciples and He washed them. And He said, "The Son has not come to be served, but to serve." That's a king who's talking, friends. Enthroned in the heavenlies. He knew who He was. He says, if you're gonna do anything, do it My way. Not Frank Sinatra's way. My way. Serve. Serve. Just serve. Follow Him. I'll tell you now, if you follow Jesus, He'll teach you how to serve. Yeah. First thing He'll do, He won't teach you how to be an apostle or mighty woman of God or a prophet. Or He will teach you how to serve. So that you can creep into someone's heart who desperately needs your affection and your love. Are we okay? And if this is how Jesus led, this is how husbands should be in their marriages. This is how wives should be in their marriages. Men taking their place in their relationship, in their marriage, should be as one who serves the other, just like Jesus did. Women taking their place in their relationships, in their marriage, should be as one who serves the other. Just like Jesus did. In Christ, there is neither black or white, slave or free man, male or female. In Christ, we are who we are. We are His kids. A good model for leadership and marriage is to look and to follow the model of Jesus, His words, His way, His deeds of life, relationship, and love. And be true servants to one another. I think what this does, it develops an attitude which can transform our behavior and then our roles. Because there are roles. Are there roles? Their roles. But our roles are based on mutual submission to one another. That's how roles work. This attitude, I believe, creates a responsiveness towards one another. A man's attitude then is that of being responsible and serving, leading, considerate, sacrificial towards his wife. That's what the scriptures teach us. The woman's attitude is that of being responsive, serving, submissive. You've got to change the words. We've got to let our minds take time. It's not like our role is then to lead like this. No, our role is to serve lead. Our role is to submit. No, our role is to serve submissively. And everything is mutual. You can't submit to someone if they can't submit to you. True.
Sure. Very good bet.
Gentle and respectful and reflective of the inner life of godliness. And so on the basis of this, what I've just shared with you, our roles enable us to make good relationships and good decisions. So really, I haven't helped you one bit, have I? So what do we do? Who takes the rubbish out? Who fixes the globes? Who's going to cook? Who's going to decide on the paint of the walls? Who's going to earn the most money? Hey, who's going to wash the dishes? If you guys have a fight on that, just go and buy Siemens dishwasher. Who's going to do that? Who cares? Who cares? Because that's not the issue. We are not defined by what we do. We're defined by who we are. So if you're an accountant in the marriage and you've been told by tradition, you've got to cook. Rather be the accountant. Right? And if you're the creative, but you've been told that you've got to provide, and don't have any choice in decisions of what the house looks like, or why get stuck in that? I had a dad who was a traditional male, and I could see what was going on. But my dad was also creative. And he was stuck in his head that guys don't do that. Why? If I relied, my babe, I'm sorry. If I relied on Leanne's cooking, can you see? I'm the creative. I'm going to cook. Why? Because I want to. It's the way I am. And Leanne is a strategic thinker. She can think about things that I can't even go there. She can organize things. I wish. I've learned. Okay, you go for it, but I can't do that. Truth is, I don't even want to do that. I have to fight this. I'm not going to be trapped to be someone I'm not. And I'm not going to trap anyone to be someone they're not. So if you can do the books and you're the lady in the house, do the books. Otherwise, the artist will make you broke. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's this great conversation for you. Great conversation.